Last week we learned the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Beis. It sounded initially as if Shmuel was making six drushes on the word Gedi. And the Gemara says, how can you make six drushes? The word only appears three times. The Pasuk Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo appears three times. So you have a right to make a drusha on the three times Gedi, but you can't make on six. So the Gemara says, some of them you don't really need a drusha. Some of them are elementary, we would know on our own. And the Gemara explains, part of the story was, there is a question whether Issa Chalalisa or Ein Issa Chalalisa. If something is already treif, let's say Chalev, Chalev is treif, it's also Bachila, Mutabano, and then I'm going to cook the Chalev is flesh. Fleshy, it's part of the animal. I'm going to cook the chaylev with milk. Hamavashel chaylev b'cholov. So should I say isa chalal isa, despite the fact that the chaylev is already treif to begin with? Now that I cook it with milk, I slap on another isa. I superimpose the isa basa b'cholov on top of the isa chaylev. And if someone will eat this chaylev, he'll get double malchus. Once we're eating chaylev, once because it's basa b'cholov, or should I say ein isa chalal isa? The second Issa Basa B'chala cannot be chal on top of the first Issa. So the Gemara presents it like it's a debate among the Tanoim. So the Gemara says, two of the Psukim, two of the drushes were Gedi, the Rabbis is Hanavela. Let's say I take meat from the A&P, which is Nevela anyway, to begin with. It's Nevela flesh. And I cook that in milk. So does it become Osamitam? If it becomes Osamitam Basa B'chala, not only will it be asa b'achila, it'll be asa b'hano as well. Nevela per se is only asa b'achila, muta b'hano. If I'm going to cook it with milk and I'll say isa chalal isa, then the second isa will make it asa b'hano as well. So would you say isa chalal isa or not? So the Gemara says, maybe Shmuel thinks in general isa chalal isa, and therefore if you cook nevela with milk, we spoke about the dog food, a lot of the dog food that's canned that they sell in the stores is nevela meat, it's not the glatt kosher. It's nevela meat that's cooked with milk. And if a person has a dog and he feeds it to his dog, he's getting hanoah from this stuff. So we paskin, even though ein isa chalal isa, the second ein isa chalal isa, the Gemara says in Yevamos on Daf Lamed Aleph, even though the second isa is not chal with respect to malchus, if I'll eat that nevela meat that was cooked with milk, you won't give me twice malchus, you'll only give me once malchus, because it already had an Isra of Nevela, so the Isra Basa B'cholov doesn't set in. It's not superimposed on top of it. It's not superimposed with respect to Malkus. But Lukovra Ben Rishoyim Gemurim, the Gemara said, the second Isra is Chal. What does it mean? Lukovra, to bury him Ben Rishoyim Gemurim. The Mishnah has a din. You're not allowed to bury the Haruge Bezdin in the regular cemetery. Whoever got Skila Svefa Hergechenik, you have to bury him in a separate cemetery. So then the Gemara says, but we learn out from a pasuk, you're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a rosh, not only Haruge Bezin, not only someone who was put to death, Mrs. Bezin. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a rosh. Then the Gemara says, you're not allowed to bury a rosh chomer next to a rosh kal. If someone is keeping track, who keeps track? If someone's keeping track, I know he did 1,000 averis and he did 2,000 averis. So you're not allowed to bury him next to him. So we don't know how to keep track, so we usually assume all the people from the Mizrahi do the same number of averus. All the people from the Aguda do roughly the same number of averus. So that's why the Mizrahi has their own cemetery, the Aguda has their own cemetery, the Nakarta has their own cemetery. All the people from this shul have their own cemetery. All the people from that shul, roughly speaking, they all do the same number of averus. So that's because of the din, Ein Koivin Rosh HaChomer, Eitzel Rosh HaKal. So the Gemara has a din, ad kedei kach, if someone really is keeping track, how can anybody keep, how do I know what the other fellows do? Someone is keeping track, and I know one person did 1,000 averus, the other person violated 1,001 averus. So the Gemara says, if you know, then you're not allowed to bury one next to the other. We don't know, so we assume all the people from this community do the same number of averus, so we bury them next to each other. So the Gemara says, what if the two people did exactly 1,000 averus? He did 1,000. But one of the 1,000 averus that he did was an Issa Chalal Issa. Had a second Issa set in on top of the first Issa. So we paskin halacha ein Issa Chalal Issa. The second Issa is not Chal. So the Gemara is not Chal for Malkus purposes. For Misa purposes, not Chal. For Onish. For Chatos, is not Chal. But with respect to Lekov Rebein Rishoyim Gemurim, that you're not allowed to bury him. If someone's keeping track, you know for sure he did 1,000 averus. he did 1,001, because this one of the 1,000 was an Isser Chalal Isser, then the second Isser is Chal. That's how we pass. So therefore, most of the poskim say La Locha. The Nadi Bihuda writes not so. Nadi Bihuda writes, if you cook Nevela, Nadi Bihuda has comments printed on the side of the Eredei, that's called Dogal Mervava. So he writes in his Dogal Mervava, if you cook Nevela meat with milk, it's Mutta Bahanoa. Why is it Mutta Bahanoa? But the Nevela was Mutta Bahanoa to begin with. It was only Osa Bachila. So when you cook the Nevela with milk, so shouldn't the Isa Basa Bachalav set in? It should be Isa Chalal Heter, because initially when it was Nevela, it was Mutta Bahanoa. So the second Isa Basa Bachalav contains a new dimension that the first Isa never had. The first Isa never had an Isa Hano, only had an Isa Achila. So why do you call that Ein Isa Chalal Isa, it's Isa Chalal Heter? So the Dogma Vava on the side of the Eredei says, look in the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayis and Mishnayis Krisis, and the Rambam has what he refers to. The Rambam wrote the Pirush HaMishnayis in Arabic, and we have the Hebrew translation. So every 100 pages, the Rambam writes an expression in Arabic which translated into Hebrew reads that there's a nekuda in the floor here. There's a fascinating point. And the nekuda is a point in the floor. A very interesting, fascinating point. So the Rambam there, this is called the nekuda in the floor of the Rambam. The Rambam has more than one nekuda in the floor. But there increases, the famous one is about basa b'chalav. The Rambam asked this question. Why should one who cooks nevela with milk, why should it be an issue of enisa chalalisa? But the Isa Hanor should be Chal, because Nevela was Mutabano. So the Rambam says there are different kinds of Isuri Hanor. Hegdish is Asa Bahanor, Avodizor is Asa Bahanor. It does start off as an Isar Achila. It's not a Machot. Let's say someone donates a table to Hegdish. So you say the table is Asa Bahachila. It's not an Isar Achila. Hegdish is Asa Bahanor, Avodizor. Someone worships a totem pole. You say the totem pole is also b'achila? No. Avodizar is also b'ano. From macholos asuras, from the non-kosher foods, we have a whole list of non-kosher foods. So some of the non-kosher foods are also b'achila muta b'ano, and some of the macholos asuras are not only also b'achila, they're even also b'ano, but it has to start off as macholos asuras. So the Rambam explains, if you have nevela or you have chelev, and it's also b'achila muta b'ano, they're not cooking in milk. So first you have to judge, is the Isra Achila Chal? Is the Isra Achila Basa B'chal Chal? I say, Ein Isra Chal Al Isra. It already is Nevela. It already is Chelev. Isra Basa B'chal can't be Chal on it. Once you say the Isra Achila is not Chal, then the Isra Ano is also not Chal. So the Dogam Lebavah, the Nari Behuda writes, he understands from that Rambam that if you cook Nevela meat with milk, it's Mutabano Halocha L'maisa. So some Rabbanim published essays like that about the dog food that they sell in the stores. Whoever has a pet dog and he wants to buy the dog food, so you can rely on the dog mevava that any sechalalis is mutabano. But the overwhelming majority of the poskim disagree with that dog mevava. They say he's not right because of the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Lama Dalet, Daf Lama Gimel, Daf Lama Dalet, where the Gemara says even though the second Isser is not chal on top of the first Isser, that's for onish purposes. The second Isa is not Chal with respect to Chatos, with respect to Kores, with respect to Mises Bezim, with respect to Malkus. But the second Isa is Chal with respect to what? Lukovra Ben Rishoyim Gemurim. It's Farechen as an Aver. If you know, he did 1,000 Averes. He did 1,001 because he had an Isa, Chal Al Isa. So it is Farechen as an Aver. So it means that the Isa Achila Basa B'cholav is Chal. The Isa Ano is also Chal. You won't get Malkus for eating the Basa B'cholav. You won't get Malkus for getting hand off in the Basa B'chol, but the Isser is Chal. So again, what do you say that what? Right, and Nafkamina, that you wouldn't bury him next to the other person. So that never comes up. How do we know how many Averis everyone is doing? We don't keep track. But the Gemara says, theoretically, the second Isser really is Chal. Only for Onshim, you say, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So the Gemara says over here, we had a problem. It sounded to us as if Shmuel is making 6 drushes on 3 words. How did he make 6 drushes? Gemara says, no, some of the dinim are simple. You don't need any psukim. Gemara says that if you cooked the nevela with milk and you cooked the chela with the milk, that it has a din bas b'chalav, Shmuel holds it's a chalalisa, so you don't need a pasuk for that. Sure. So then the Gemara said, another din doesn't need a pasuk. that if you have the embryonic sac around, you have a cow that's pregnant, and you have an uber, so the uber is called the shlil. It's not fully developed yet, but it's flesh. And then you have the shilya, is the embryonic sac around it. So Gemara says, if you take the embryonic sac and you cook it in milk, it's pirsha bialma, that's not flesh. That's a piece of junk. That's not, there's no prohibition of basal. So you don't need a pasuk for that, that we know on our own. And then the shlil, the uber, is flesh, that we know also on our own, so you don't need a pasuk for that either. So Gemara knocks down. What's asa?
Yeah.
Right. The shlil, the embryo, is fleshig. So if you cook it with milk, that's basa b'cholof. And the shilya, the embryonic sac, is pirsha b'yalma, that's not fleshig. So the Gemara says you don't really need six drushes. Some of the dinim we know on our own. So then the Gemara for ektakasha, is this true? That's what we left off. With Sova Shmuel, is that true that Shmuel holds you don't need any pasuk? Shmuel thinks iser chalal iser. Is that true? He holds always the second iser can be chal on top of the first iser. But don't we know that it's not true? V'homa Shmuel Mishum Reb Eliezer. Shmuel said in the name of Reb Eliezer. Here's where the Rashi has the comment. Whenever it says many times in Gemara, Amar Shmuel. It means Rabbi Yehuda heard from Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Rabbi Yehuda was an Amora who learned by both Rab and Shmuel. Rab and Shmuel lived in two different cities. At first he learned by one. When he passed away, he moved to the other city, learned by the other one. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, when it's Amar somebody, means the first one said, he heard from the second one. When it says Amar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon by Yehud Tzadok, Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim, he never saw Rabbi Shimon by Yehud Tzadok. So Mishum has the connotation of, in the name, I never heard from him directly, but I'm saying over in his name. That's where Rashi points out here. Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. He never met Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, way before, he never met Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, says in the name of the Tan Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkin, Stam Rabbi Eliezer Agodel, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkin, who's way before Rabbi Yechanan. So he says, Shmuel says the following din. Truma can only be eaten by Kohanim. The Kedusha of a Tahar. The Kohen has to be Tahar and the Truma has to be Tahar. If the Kohen is Tomei, or if the Truma is Tomei, or if they're both Tomei, then you're not allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, if the Kohen is Tomei, and he eats Truma Tohira, so there's a serious Aveira, he gets Misa B'dei Shamayim. There's Koris and there's Misa B'dei Shamayim, they're two different punishments. The Gemara says, in the end of Moed Katan, that officially, one is Chayiv Koris, means that he's going to die by the age of 50, one is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim, is going to die by the age of 60. Taisus says we see a lot of people who don't die there. Taisus says maybe they gave tzedakah, maybe they have schus avos, whatever. But in principle, they're supposed to die. Koris is considered more chomer than Misa B'dei Shamayim. Because Koris, he's supposed to die at 50, Misa B'dei Shamayim is supposed to die at 60. That's why the Gemara says there was some Amoraim who would throw a party. Apparently, they didn't make a birthday party every year. Maybe too many candles to blow out. But at 50 and 60, they made a birthday party. At the age of 50, they saw that they didn't die from Koris, and if they survived the age of 60, they saw that they weren't punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Gemara says they would throw a party then, because they were Yotze Mechalal Koris and Yotze Mechalal Misa B'dei Shamayim. So what's the din if a Kohen is Tomei and he eats Truma? So that's a serious Avera, Misa B'dei Shamayim. What if the Kohen is Tohar and he eats Truma Tomei? He's not allowed to. So that's an Avera. But there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim. There isn't even Malkus because there isn't a lav. Rashi explains it's only an Isar Aseh. We derive from the Pasuk that the Truma may only be eaten if the Truma is Tahira. If the Truma became Nitmeis, then it's an Isar Aseh. It's implied. You only get Malkus if you violate an Avera that's similar to Lo Sachs Mashar B'disha. Because the Pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, V'hitzdikas Atzarik V'hishivas HaRosha V'hayon Bin HaKos HaRosha. If the Bezin ascertains that somebody is a Rosha, so they give him Malkus. Who is a Rosha? whoever says anything against me is a Rasha. Whoever belongs to the Mizrahi is a Rasha. Whoever belongs to the Turek Karta is a Rasha. Whoever belongs to that good is a Rasha. Everybody calls everybody else a Rasha. So who's a Rasha? So in Chumash Dvarim, the next pasuk says, L'sachs M'shar B'disha. You're not allowed to muzzle the animal while it's working with food. And the Gemara says, in Chumash Dvarim only, we darshan smuchim. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection, that's called a hekesh. If you have two dinim written and two psukim that are next to each other, that's called smuchim. So the Gemara says, in the beginning of Yevamos, we darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah, in Chumash Dvarim. Chumash Dvarim is different from the rest of the Chumashim. Originally, Moshe Rabbeinu was reviewing all of Torah Shebaal Peh and right before he dies. And when you review Torah Shebaal Peh, you say over things by association. One din leads to another din, leads to another din, leads to another din. So that's why in Chumash Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu originally said it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu to write it down in the Chumash now. But originally, Moshe Rabbeinu said it in his own language, and the Seder HaPsukim was the way he was connecting things, linking things in his mind by association. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it in this specific order is because there is a connection. In Chumash Dvarim, we darshan smuchim. So there are many, many, many famous drushes based on psukim and Chumash Dvarim, with the psukim on one next to the other. So this is one of the many dinim. Who gets malchus? Which drusha gets malchus? Whoever violates an avera that's similar to losachsim shabedisha. So losachsim shabedisha says loy. So the Gemara says if the pasuk says lo, lo sebashal gadi b'chaleivimah. So if a person cooks Basim B'cholov, he gets malchus because he violated an avera that says loy, that's similar to lo sachsim shabedisha. The Gemara says even if it doesn't say loy, it says hishomer pen or al, that's the equivalent of loy. But if it's only a lav haba mechalal say, the pasuk says the correct way to eat truma is the truma should be tahira. If the truma is nitmes, you're not, it's improper. But it never says don't eat truma shenitmes. So that's called the lav haba mechalal say, it's an avera. But it's not dumi, the lab de chasima. It's not similar, the way it appears in the Chumash, it's not similar to Losachs Mashar Bedisha, so there's no Malkus. So the Gemara says here, Ashayla, what happens if the Kohen is Tomei and the Truma is Tomei? Would that be Sabedisha Maim or not? If a Kohen is Tomei and he eats Truma, Tahira, then he gets Sabedisha Maim. If the Kohen is Tahar and he eats Truma Tomei, then it's an Isra Asay, there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim. What if both the Kohen is Tomei and the Truma is Tomei? Would there be Misa B'dei Shemayim there or not? So the Gemara quotes Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Lezer. Shmuel says in the name of the Tana, Minayin, how do I know the din? Kohen Tomei Shachal Truma Tomei, that there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Umesa Bo Ki Chalaluhu. The Kohen deserves Misa B'dei Shemayim because he was Mechalel the Truma. He ate the Truma when he was Tomei, and by his eating the Truma in his state of Tumei, he violated the Kedushas HaTruma. The Truma should not be eaten by an Adam Tomei. So that's only if the Kohen is Tomei and the Truma is Tahira. Prat Lazu, to the exclusion of Truma Tomei, if the Truma was Tomei also, Shem B'cholelus V'amedes, the Truma was Tomei already, so then the Kohen Tomei who eats it is not being Mechalel. It is Mechulel V'yamed. So the Gemara understands, so the Rambam quotes that din, Rambam quotes the Halacha, Shmuel's din, he doesn't distinguish what happened first, whether the Kohen became Tomei first or the Truma became Tomei first, it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara is not like the Rambam. The Gemara understood Shmuel as saying, if the Truma became Tomei first, and it's only an Isar Asay against eating it, and then the Kohen becomes Tomei afterwards, then it's Ein Isar Chal Al Isar. So the Isra of a Kohen Tomei eating Truma is an Isra Choma, Misa B'dei Shemayim. The Isra of eating a Kohen Tohar eating Truma Tomei is an Isra Kal, an Isra Asay. So whichever one said in first, the second one can't be superimposed on top of it, because they Ein Isra Chal Al Isra. So the Gemara quotes, Shmuel said that the name of the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, that Ein Isra Chal Al Isra. What does it have to do with Isra Chal Al Isra? The Rambam quotes it, doesn't say it makes a difference whether the Truma became Tomei first or the Kohen became Tomei first. The Rambam holds it's a din. It's not based on any Yisrachalis. But this Gemara understood, our Sugya understands that Shmuel's din is based on any Yisrachalis only if the Truma became Nitmes first. And Yisrachalis, this is a Chiddush. Any Yisrachalis, one might have argued if the first Isser is an Isser Lav, then the second Isser Lav can't be Chal on top of the first Isser Lav. But if the first one is only an Isser Asay, you also say, Ein Isser Chal al Isser, an Isser Lav is not Chal. Our Gemara assumes like that. The Rambam does not qualify the din. He doesn't say there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim, only at first the Truma became Nitmis, and then the Kohen became Tomei. So the Prima Gordon writes in his introduction to Hilcha Shechita, apparently the Rambam thinks, based on other Gemaras, that you can't understand it. The Rambam thinks, Ein Isa Chal al Isa is only if the first Isa was at least an Isa Lav. But if the first Isa was only an Isa Asay, if the Truma became Tomei, that you're not allowed to eat it, that's only an Isa Asay. It's not an Isa Lav. So the Rambam holds, you can't say, Ein Isa Chal al Isa if the first Isa was only an Isa Asay. But that's why the Rambam understood the din of the Tana Rebbe Eliezer that has nothing to do with the Ein Isa Chal al Isa. It doesn't matter whether the Kohen became Tomei first or the Truma became Tomei first. There's no Misa B'dei Shemayim because it's not being Mechal of the Truma. Why is it in the introduction to Hilcha Shechita? It doesn't belong there. No, the Gemara has a din of Rav Huna. We're learning Chulin, in the first parak, the din of Rav Huna is prominent. The Gemara says, whenever the Shechet is not sure whether he did a good job at the Shechita, so Rav Huna says, whenever this is Sofik Shechita, Behema B'chayeh B'cheske Sisra, Meres HaShivar Alach B'meh Nishchata. If you're not sure but he did a good job at the Shechita, so the Behem is Beches Kasisa. So Sofik Shechita is Asa. Asa B'taras Vada, because of the Ches Kasisa. What Ches Kasisa does it have? You say it's a Nevela, an animal that's walking around is Nishke Nevela. So Rashi says, Machleg is Rashi and Taisus. So Rashi says, Beches Kasisa Eiv Menachai. So Taisus asks a few kashas against Rashi. One kasha is, Eivim and Achai means if you have an animal and you rip off a limb is detached. While the animal is walking, all the limbs are still attached. You don't say it's a bunch of Eivim and Achais. The Eivim and Achai doesn't set in until one of the limbs is detached. That's a machlekes of Yechon and Reish Lakish in the last perek before Perigin Anosha. That's machlekes the end of Perigin Anosha. They say, Behema b'chayeha lo evorim ha-medes. An animal walking around with all the limbs attached is a whole bunch of Eivim and Achais. Or we pass on like Rabbi Yechon. Behema b'chaya, lav levarim emenis. You don't call a live animal an eiv menachai when a limb will be, if a leg is detached by on purpose, accidentally, whatever, then it'll become an eiv menachai. But the animal, while it's walking around, is nishken eiv menachai. So that's one kasha Tosfos says against Rashi. How can Rashi understand Rav Huna's din? Behema b'chaya b'ches kasisa is b'ches kasisa eiv menachai. Behema b'chaya that's walking around is not, there is no isa eiv menachai. Then the second kasha they ask is, even if one would adopt the position of Reish Lakish, that Behema B'chayeha is Loivar Memedes, the live animal has an Isa Eiv Menachai, but now the Shechet shechted it, and now it's dead. Now it's dead, for sure it's not an Eiv Menachai. It's dead. It's an Avela. So you have a suffix whether you did a good Shechita. So you say, because the animal, while it was alive, had an Isa Eiv Menachai, and now it's dead, for sure I killed it. The only question is, did I kill it properly in accordance with the rules and regulations of Hilcha Shechita, or did I kill it improperly, so it'll be a Nisa Nevela, but for sure it's no longer an Eiv Menachai. So how do you say, Machzikim Eiser LeYisser? While it was alive, you say it had a different Nisa, Eiv Menachai. Now that it's dead, for sure it doesn't have an Nisa Eiv Menachai. The deal now is that whether it has an Nisa Nevela or not. So Tosfos proves from a Gemara in Yevamos, Ei Machzikim Eiser LeYisser. Just because it had Isa A yesterday, and today I don't know, it no longer has Isa A, that's no question about it. The question is whether Isa B set in, did the Isa Nevela set in? So Rashi holds, Machzikim Isa Li Isa, because it has a Cheskas Isa Eiv Menachai, we declare that it's a Vadai Nevela. So Tosfos says it doesn't make sense, there is no such club. Ei Machzikim Isa Li Isa. So the Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosfos thinks that Rashi's chart is not correct. So what did Rav Huna say? Behema b'chayeha b'ches kasisa emedes. So Tosfos says it's an iser eina zvucha. Tosfos comes up in the new chiddush. There's an iser eina zvucha. An animal, while it's alive, you're not allowed to bite into the animal. There is an iser asay. The pasuk says v'zavachta v'achalta. When the Bnei Yisrael were in the midbar, so they were supposed to bring all. When they wanted to eat some flesh, they were supposed to bring a korban shlamim to the Beis HaMikdash and then eat the flesh. Once they came to Eretz Yisrael, so the Pasuk says they're permitted to eat the Sar Taiva. If you live far away from the Beis Hamikdash, can't expect everybody to travel to Yerushalayim and bring a Korban Shlomim whenever they want to have a fleshy dinner. You want to have a fleshy dinner in Kiryat Shmona or in Rehovot, whatever. How can everybody has to come to the Beis Hamikdash? So it says, when you'll come to Eretz Yisrael and you'll live far away from the Beis Hamikdash, kisava napshecha lechol basa, you'll be interested, you'll have a desire to eat fleshiks. V'chol avas napshecha tizbach v'achalta basa. So that's what we call besar taiva. All the meat that we eat today, we call besar taiva, meat that you eat because you have a desire, because that's the expression that the Chumash uses. Kisava napshecha lechol basa, v'chol avas napshecha tizbach v'achalta basa. So the pasuk says, tizbach v'achalta. And Tosfos says, medak mimata shesaveach ato echel. If you shecht it properly, then you're allowed to eat it. Kozman, you didn't shecht it properly either while the animal is alive. It's an isa rasei veda zvucha. Or if it dies a natural death, or if you did an improper shechita, you didn't do the shechita properly, so then it's going to be an isa rasei veda zvucha. So that's what Tosfos says. So then the other Balei HaTosfos are not so convinced that there's an isa rasei. Let's say it says in Chumash, you shall like tefillin. So if a person doesn't like tefillin, he's not the kind of mitzvah saseh. You say, he's over an isar aseh. He's not over an isar aseh. He didn't do anything. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of, a person doesn't eat matzah Pesach night. So he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You say, he's over an isar aseh. It's not an isar aseh. It's a mitzvah saseh. There's a kiyum aseh and there's an isar aseh. For example, the Rambam lists off what in his opinion are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam counts as one of the 613 mitzvahs called Sipa Tohara Tochelum. It's a mitzvah to eat kosher birds. What if I don't enjoy chicken? A mitzvah once a day, every day, to eat a kosher bird? He doesn't mean that. He means it's an Isar Aseh. If you eat a non-kosher bird, you're over on an Isar Aseh. But it's not a mitzvah Aseh. Sometimes you have a pasuk that it's only a mitzvah Aseh. You should eat matzah, you should like tefillin, you should say kiddush. If you didn't do it, you didn't do the mitzvah. If I felt that mitzvah, you're missing a mitzvah. Sometimes you have a pasuk called Sipa Torah Tachelu. That's not a mitzvah sase. That's an isar ase. If you eat a non-kosher fowl, then you're over on an isar ase. It's like a lav, but it's not written loy. So there's no malchus. An isar ase lav abba machlalse. Sometimes you have a pasuk that's both an isar ase and a kiyam ase. That's how we assume, for example, ach be'yom rishon tashbisu sor mipatechem. It says in the Chumash, you have to dispose of all of the chametz on Erev Pesach. But Yom Rishon means the day prior to Pesach. So we say a bracha when we're bodei chametz, Asher kenoshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, al bi'ur chametz, because it's a mitzvah saseh. You only say a bracha when you perform a mitzvah. When you shave with an electric shaver, you're removing the beard, but you're not violating the lav of shaving with a razor. So you don't say a bracha because you're not violating the lav. When you eat kosher food, you don't say a bracha. Shekinoshanim is also tzivanu not to eat non-kosher food. When you avoid violation of an aveh, you don't say a bracha. You don't say a bracha when you're fulfilling a mitzvah saseh. So when you do the bedikas chametz, you say a bracha al bi'ur chametz, because the bedikah is the beginning of the bi'ur. After you do the bedikah, you're going to burn whatever chametz you're going to find. So disposing of the chametz, destroying the chametz on Erev Pesach, is a mitzvah saseh. And the Rishonim say, in addition, it's also an isra saseh. Achmer Rishon Tashbisa means you're not allowed to eat chametz in the afternoon. After Chatzos and Erev Pesach, it's an avera to eat chametz. So that pasuk, Achmer Rishon Tashbisa, is an aseh, but it's both an isra saseh and a kiyam aseh. But not so by every pasuk. So Tosfos came up with this chiddush, that the pasuk says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be interested in eating fleshiks. You have a desire to eat flesh. So Tosfos understands that there's an Isar Aseh here. So the other Balei HaTosfos says, Ve'zok that there's an Isar Aseh. The Chumash says, if you shech the animal, it won't be an Isar Nevela. Who says that there's an Isar Aseh here too? But that's what Tosfos is Mechadosh, that there's an Isar Aseh.
When you say, what does that mean? You
always say mitochen ato shemei alav, but it doesn't always mean. Let's say the Chumash says you have to shecht all the animals mitochen ato shemei alav. If you don't shecht it and it dies a natural death, you're not allowed to eat it. Or if you didn't shecht it properly, you did the shechita improperly, so you're not allowed to eat it. But it doesn't necessarily, you do say mitochen ato shemei alav, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be in violation of this avera. Here there is no avera. This just means you have to shecht properly. If you won't shecht it properly, it'll be nevela. it'll be a Nisa Nevela. But who says it's going to be a Nisa Rasei? This pasuk just says, make sure you shecht the animals properly. And if you don't, you'll have a problem, not necessarily that it's this pasuk a Nisa Rasei. It's a Nisa Lav of eating Nevela. So Tesis themselves are not sure whether you can say Behema Bechaya Becheskas Yisr means an Yisr Asay of Eina Zvucha. Is there such an Yisr Asay? Be'ezot, maybe there is no such Yisr. So that's what the Prima Gadim discusses. The Ramam had a Gemara in connection with the Yisr Asay of Eina Zvucha that you don't say Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr on top of an Yisr Asay. Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr is only if the first Yisr has an Yisr Lav. So that's why the Rambam didn't accept this Gemara. Our Gemara understood Shmuel's memory in the name of the Tanner Ablazer. It only applies in one direction. If the Chuma became Nitmes first and then the Koyim became Tomei later, so then you say Ein Isa Chalalisa. But if the Koyim became Tomei first and the Koyim Tomei Shachal Chuma is Misa B'dei Shemaim, and then after the Koyim became Tomei, then the Chuma became Tomei, then the Gemara understands that you can't apply the rule of Ein Isa Chalalisa. He became Tomei first, then it would be Misa B'dei Shemaim. So the Gemara understood that it's based on the rule of Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr, the Yisr Asay of Truma Shenitmeis sets in first, that prevents the second Yisr from being Chal on top of it. So the Rambam didn't accept that Gemara, because he held based on other Gemaras, Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr is only if the first Yisr had an Yisr Lav. If only had an Yisr Asay, the rule doesn't apply. So that's why that Prima Gadim is in the Psich and the introduction to Hilchas Shechita. Remember once I was talking many years ago, 50 years ago, I was talking to a young man my age who thought he knew Kavat Torah Kula at the age of 20. And so we were talking about Yisr Chalal Yisr. So I was telling him over a Gemara, that the Gemara talks about a person does Malach on Yom Kippur. A person does Malach on Shabbos is an Yisr Kares. So if he's Machal Shabbos B'Shegig, he has to bring a Korban Chatas. If Yom Kippur falls out in the middle of the week and a person does Malach on Yom Kippur, write the Kares. If you do Malach on Yontif, that you're not allowed to do, there's only Malkus, there's no Kares. But if one does Malach on Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Kares. So if he does Malach on B'Shegeg, it could also be Chayiv Chatas. What if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos and somebody does Malach? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Does he get twice? Is he Chayiv two Chatas? If he did it B'Mezid, is he Chayiv twice Malkus? And if he did a b'shegig, he's a chayv tu chatois. And maybe I should say ein isa chalalisa. What do you mean ein isa chalalisa? Which one said in first? So the Gemara assumes Shabbos, when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, m'sheishes made bereishes, by v'orach alekim osyam mishmei, by kadosh osa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekadosh all the Shabbosim losid lava eliyolam void. So Shabbos always comes first. And then when the Bezin decides when Rosh Hashanah should be, so they declare that Yom Kippur is going to be 10 days later, so then it's considered Yom Kippur superimposed on top of Shabbos. Shabbos always comes first and Yom Kippur comes second. So Gemara has this discussion in the Tanayim, is the Yisr Malacha of Yom Kippur chal on top of the Yisr Malacha on Shabbos? So this fellow who thought that he's God's gift to the world, thought such a big Tanas Chalam, so he said, there can't be such a Gemara. Can't be such a Gemara. What does it have to do with Einis Chalalis? Einis Chalalis only applies if you have a piece of food, something, a chefze, that's awesome. Over here, there's no chefze. The person is not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos, he's not allowed to do Malach on Yom Kippur, so everything is chal. So I said, what can I tell you? It's an explicit Gemara. So he said, it can't be. I finally showed him the Gemara, so he couldn't believe it. So it says on the side of the Gemara, it's a quotation from the Torah's Kohanim. So he thought there must be a misprint in the Gemara. So he went, he had in his library, he had a very good library. He looked in his library, Torah's Kohanim. Lo and behold, it says in the Torah's Kohanim exactly as it says in the Gemara. So he was befuddled. How can it be? It contradicted what he thought was the Muskel Rishon. So discussion in the Gemara. Ein Yisr Chalalisa. Whenever something was prohibited, it doesn't have to be a chefze. You're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos. And then they declare that Shabbos just became Yom Kippur, superimposed on top of Shabbos. So that's a discussion in an earlier paragraph. I think it's Gidon Asher also. Whether Ein Yisr Chalalisa or not. So we left off with a kasha here. We suggested before, Shmuel doesn't need a pasuk to be marbe that if you cooked nevela with milk, or if you cooked chalev with milk, that the Yisr Basal B'Chalav will be superimposed on top of the Yisr Nevela. Shmuel holds all the time Yisr Chalal Yisr. So you don't need a pasuk for that. So the Gemara says, V'sobah Shmuel, is that true? That's what he holds, Yisr is Chalal Yisr? But Shmuel is the one who quotes in the name of the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, that the Iser of Kain Tomei, eating Chuma, will not be superimposed on top of the Iser of Chuma Tomei. You're not allowed to eat Chuma Tomei. So if the Chuma became Nitmas first, and then the Kain became Tomei second, so then there won't be any Misa B'dei Shamayim. So it does not contradict this din of Shmuel. So the Gemara gives a few answers. So the Gemara says, Ibois Eima, if you want to, I can say one answer. Ibois Eima, second answer, and Ibois Eima, third answer. The Gemara is going to give three answers. So first the Gemara says, Ibois, if you want to, Eima, I will say, the Alma in general, Shmuel is of the opinion, Iser is Chalal Iser. In all Kala Tarakula, Iser is Chalal Iser. And here it's an exception to the rule. Shiny Hasam, Dimit Rahman and Mesibaki Halu. That's an exception to the rule. That there you say Ein Isach Al Alisa. According to the Rambam, it's not an exception that you say Ein Isach Al Alisa. The Rambam says it doesn't make a difference whether the Kohen became Tommy first or the Chumi became Tommy first. The rule is that Nisa B'dei Shemaim is only if by his, the Kohen Tommy eating the Chuma Taira, he's Mechala, he's defiling the Chuma by eating it. But if it already was defiled previously, it already was Nitma, whether the Truma was Nitmes before he became Tomei or after is irrelevant. It's an exception to that rule. It's not necessarily an exception to the rule of Ein Isach Al Alisa. It could be an exception to the rule of that it doesn't have anything to do with Isach Al Alisa. Okay, that's
what,
the...
What does Terah say? What did he say?
There was a contradiction. We were suggesting that Shmuel holds in general Isa is always Chal Alisa. And Mar says, yeah, in general he holds like that Isa is Chal Alisa. But by the Chuma Tamei or Tahira, that's an exception to the rule. There I say, Ein Isach Al Alisa, because of the Mashmos of the Pasuk. Mesa Boki Yichalu, the Misa B'dei Shemaim is only if he's Tamei and the Chuma is Tahira and he's Mechalalit. But if Chuma was Nitmes before he was Nitma, then the Pasuk tells me that in that case and only in that case, I say Ein Isach Al Alisa. According to the Rambam, the Pasuk tells me in that case, there's no Misa B'dei Shemaim unrelated to Isach, has nothing at all to do with Isach Al Alisa. Doesn't matter which one became Tommy first. That's how the Rambam would say. It's irrelevant. Then the Gemara says, E boy is Eima. Or you could say the reverse. Maybe be Alma in general, and Kala Tarakula, Shmuel's opinion is, Kasav Shmuel, Ein Isach Al Alisa. Like you said, by the Chuma Tmei, Chuma Torah, it does depend which one happened first. So whichever happened first, that's Ein Isach Al Alisa. But by Basa B'cholav, he holds that's an exception to the rule. There I have a pasuk, Gidi. So Gidi tells me that it is. Iser is Chal Alisa. V'shayni hocha, the Rabbi Rachmana Gidi. The word, you do need a pasuk. You need one word, Gidi. Before we said you don't even need any Gidi. Now the Gemara is chiseling down. No, you need one Gidi to tell you that here it's an exception to the rule that Iser is Chal Alisa. Then the Gemara says, V'iboyis, Amen. If you want, you can say a third answer. It's not a contradiction in Shmuel. Shmuel was saying his own opinion is, Iser is Chal Alisa. When he quotes the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, he's not responsible for what the Tana says. Yiboy Seima, on the first wide line on Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis, Yiboy Seima, if you want, he can say a third answer. Hadi Dei, Hadi Rabbi. His own opinion, the day is, they don't call it Tarkula, Yisr Yischal Alisa. And in the name of the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, he's transmitting, Rabbi Eliezer holds Ein Isach Al Alisa, but he doesn't agree with him. He holds not so. He holds not so.
But then the Gemara said, Rabbi Eliezer,
yes.
Yeah,
he was a super. Yeah, but we rarely paskin like him. Right. Lesman Horkin is the Mishnah said, if you put all the Tanoim on one side of the scale and put him on the other side, he outplays everybody. He was a super genius. I mean, Bar Suchain and Abitipa, he remembered everything. But we rarely paskin like him. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer was Shamutihu. He was from the Beis Shammai. All the Beis Shammai were Sharpies. The Gemara says they were Mechadadi Tvei. That's why the Beis Shammai was a smaller group than the Beis Hillel. The geniuses are always a smaller group. So Rabbi Lezer was a super genius. He was one of the stars in Beis Shammai's yeshiva. And we rarely paskin like him. The Gemara in the first Perek Anita gives a list of very rare cases where we paskin like Rabbi Lezer. Usually we don't accept his opinion. The Gemara says they changed his name when he became an adult and he gave such knockout shiurim. He was Meir Ein Chachamim Bahalacha. He was outstanding. But the Gemara says he was such a super genius, when he gave a shiur, he would give all the logical possibilities. And he gave it quickly, and the Talmidim didn't know what he held halacha lemaisa. So they left him, and they learned by Rabbi Yehuda. They went to the other Tanoim. At that time, they were interested in hearing a shiur. And bottom line, what's the din? And he would give so much pilpul, the Talmidim walked out, they didn't know what he said, halacha l'maisa. So the next generation, when they were voting, had a paskin, so the Rav of the Tanoim voted against Rameh, because he didn't fully explain well why he felt one tzad was more correct than the other. He, like when Rav Soloveitchik used to give it to Shum, he explained all the shittas in the Shulchan Aruch, all the shittas in the Gemara, all the shittas. He wasn't giving his own opinion, he was explaining everything. So Rameh was like that. He explained logical explanations for everything, and they walked away. They weren't sure what his din, what his shita was. They weren't sure why he chose that shita. He explained the other shita so well. Why did he decide that this shita is better? So that's what the Gemara says in the first Perek in Erev, the end of the first Perek in Erev. That when they voted the next generation, how the din is, so the Raiv was against Rav Meir usually. Usually we don't pass him like Rav Meir. And the same Rav Lezer, he was a super genius. He was from the Beis Shammai. So we rarely pass him like Rav Lezer. Now the Gemara is a new shaila on the first wide line. Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. The original pasuk is talking a she goat gave birth to a baby goat, and the she goat is a mother already b'chalev imo, and it has milk. So you're not allowed to cook the baby goat in the milk of the mother. What if a female cow has milk and it didn't give birth yet? Or what if there's a female goat that has milk? It's very rare. Usually a woman or a female animal only has milk after they give birth. Usually. But once in a while it will happen. A female animal, a female person will have milk. So the Gemara has the shayla, boy menei rabachet b'barami meiraf. Yes, the shayla. What's the din? Amavashel b'cholov gedi shaloi heiniko. What if I have milk from an animal that never nursed a vlad? She never had a baby. Is that milchik or is it parv? Maybe milk is only milchik if she's an aim, cholav aim, if she was a mother. But if she never gave birth to a baby, maybe that's an anomaly, that's not normal. So maybe it's parv of milk. Maybe it's not considered milchik. Mahu. So Rav answers back, Shmuel had a state. Shmuel said a whole bunch of dinim before. We learned all of the six psukim and the six drushes and the three drushes. So Shmuel said, what if you have a male animal that's abnormal and it has udders, abnormal growth, and it has milk? So Shmuel said, milk from a male animal is parv. That's not milchi. So why did Shmuel have to kvetch that milk from a male animal that's so abnormal is parva? Is alazog milk from a female animal that didn't give birth yet is also parva. So midi itzrich leidu Shmuel lemeimer. Shmuel had to make a statement. V'chalevi moi v'lo v'cholav zochar. If a male animal has milk, has an abnormal growth of others, it's parva milk. So you see, only zochu deloyosel lechlaleim. The zochar, the male animal, will never be able to give birth. He's a male. He's not a female. But if it's a female animal, it happens to have milk even though it didn't give birth yet. That's unusual, but it's not as abnormal as a male animal having udders and having milk. So dafke a male animal the lots of chlalim. But this female animal, even the bol chlalim, ultimately she does have the ability to become pregnant and give birth to a vlad. Also, so that's considered milchik. That's considered milchik milk.
Sure.
Now the Gemara has a discussion. What's halacha l'maisa? What's the din? You cooked chaylev. Certain parts of the fat in the animal are called shuman, the kosher. And other parts of the fat in the animal are called chaylev, that the rasa. The Gemara has a whole discussion in Perek Eilu Treifus. Which chaylev is kares and is asa? Which chaylev is shuman and is mutter? And this whole difference between chaylev and shuman, this is only in a behemah. If you have a chaya, if you have a deer, so everything is shuman. There is no chaylev. It's the exact same thing. And a behemah and a chaya, it's the exact same thing. And a chaya, there's no issa chaylev. How do you know what's the difference between a behemah and a chaya? So we mentioned, the Gemara said, it depends on the shape of the horns, which is, you have to be a good farmer to know the difference. So the Shach says in Yerideya, we never makel. Only if you have an animal, a deer. We know a deer is a chaya, so if you shech the deer, you can eat all the chaylev, you don't have to remove any chaylev. But if you have a new animal, that we don't have a tradition on. You shouldn't paskin based on the shape of the horns that it's a chayu to allow everybody to eat the chayla, because we got to have a masur, because we're not so smart to know based on the shape of the horns which is a chayu, which is bein. So the Gemara now has a discussion. We raised it before. What's the story of with the Yisrochal Alisa? You cooked chayla from a behema with cholov. What's the din? Itmar hamavashul cholov b'chaylev, a chaylev b'cholov, however you say, he cooks fleshig chaylev with milk. Is the isa basal b'cholov chal on top of the isa chaylev or not? So it's a machlokes. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yasi, they both had smicha, Rebbe. So they were talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. You can only get smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rabbi Natam says there were two other chaverim, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, reverend. In Bavel they didn't have smicha. Today everybody flies to Eretz Yisrael back and forth a few times a year. In the days of the Gemara they couldn't fly to Eretz Yisrael. So those who lived in Bavel, if they couldn't afford to go to Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't get smicha. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. That's why today we don't have any smicha. Nobody has any real bona fide smicha. All the smicha we have is imitation smicha, because there were quite a few years that the smicha was not being conferred at all in Eretz Yisrael. So if the shalshalas hamasara was broken, so it's no longer smicha ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to have smicha from a person who got smicha, from a person who got smicha all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Each one got smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu never lived so long to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha in Chutz Lords. But after they entered Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua ben Nun could also give smicha in Chutz Lords. But after they crossed over the Yarden, that was it. From that time on, smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So there were many years when nobody was conferring any smicha in Eretz Yisrael. The government was making Zeres Hashmad against the Chachamim. They shouldn't give any smicha. And the Gemara Sanhedrin tells a story that Rabbi Yudah ben Rabbi Eloi, one of the Tanoim, wanted to confer smicha. And the Romans, it seems, the Romans said, if anybody gives smicha, they're going to wipe out the whole community. They'll kill all the Jews in the city. So he didn't want anybody to lose their lives. So he gave smicha to five or six students of his. And he was careful to give smicha in a public location, far away from both cities, so they won't kill anybody. But then the Romans found out about him, because he did it in a public demonstrative fashion, so they killed him. The Tana was Moisa Nefesh to preserve the smicha. So all the Mepharshim asked, who told them to do it in a public fashion? They give smicha privately. Today, who knows who has smicha? They call a guy up to the Torah, Yamad Harav. How do you know if he has smicha? You don't advertise in public who has smicha. So apparently it seems from the Gemara that that's part of the din. Smicha is supposed to be conferred in a public fashion, like when the Lublin Yeshiva, Yeshiva's Chachma Lublin, conferred smicha to the Talmidim, said they made a Chag HaSmicha. They wrote it up in the Yiddish papers, Chag HaSmicha, public celebration. Apparently that's what the Sri Yesha has a whole essay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Smicha is not a private affair that the Rebbe gives smicha to his Talmud. Smicha is the Rebbe representing all of Klal Yisrael. And it says, when Yeshua ben Nun got smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, so it says, "V'tzivisa osu li'ayneim." You should confer the smicha in public in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael, because the smicha is b'shem Kol Yisrael. So that's what the Rambam writes. That's why smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, because only in Eretz Yisrael are the Jews considered Klal Yisrael. All the Jews in Chutz Lo'aretz are considered like Yechidim. So the Rabbi Natan points out, there were Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, were Amoroyim, who were buddies. They both lived in Bavel. And there was Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. Those were two other people. They're four different people. Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi both got smicha from Rabbi Yechanan. They lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Ami v'Rav Asi were reverends, but they weren't rabbis because they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, so they couldn't have gotten any smicha. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. If you cook chaylev with cholov, is it basa b'cholov? Chaylev is fleshik. Why shouldn't it be basa b'cholov? It's an issue of Yisrochal Alisa. No, treif chaylev. Treif, that's us. Otherwise, we would call it shuma. So the issue is one of Yisrochal Alisa. It already is chaylev, so can the Issa basa b'cholov be superimposed on top of it? That's what we were discussing previously on the Yomid. Previously, we were talking based on Shmuel. Shmuel lived in Bavel. And these Rabbami Rabbasi, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. Same time as Shmuel. They were Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amorim, same as Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. So they had a dispute, Charama loike, Charama ain't a loike. They had a machloikas, whether the Issa Bas Bechalov, they get Malkas for the Issa Chalev, that's no machloikas about that. The machloikas, they get an additional Tzveta Malkas because of the Issa Bas Bechalov. Zog the Gemara, Leima, Behokam, Afligas, should I say that this is the point of dispute? The man the Amal loike at Tzveta Malkas, why Kasabi Issa Chalal Issa? The Issa Bas Bechalov can be superimposed on top of the Issa Chalev, even vis a vis Malkas. Uman the Yoman, the other opinion, ain't a loike, because he thinks ain't is a chalalisa. So you'll only get Malkus for eating the chalev, but you can't get an additional Malkus for eating the basa b'cholov. So luchayre, that is the machalik. Leim, should I say that this is the machalik? Zagmar loy, not necessarily so. They didn't explain what their machalikus is. Not necessarily correct. Could be that they did explain, but the Talmud Bavli didn't have access to Rabbi Ami Rabasi. So they heard someone came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he told him there was a machleg zarabami rabasi. So the Gemara is trying, the Bavli is trying to figure out what was the point of debate. It could be the rabami rabasi explained themselves. But the Gemara, the Bavli is going to give different suggestions. The Gemara says, loy, not necessarily so. You don't necessarily have to assume that there's a machleg is where the Issa Chalal Issa. Perhaps the Kuli Alma, perhaps they both agree, both Rabbi Ami and Rabasi agree, and Issa Chalal Issa. And Achila, with respect to eating it, if you eat the chalev that was cooked in the chalev, the kuli amal, they'll both agree, like pligi de loiloki. They would all agree that there's no malchus and isa chalalisa. Ki pligi, when do they have a machlekes abishul? Because there's no avera to cook chalev. What are you going to gain? You're going to cook chalev, you can't eat it. There's no avera to cook chalev. To cook basa b'chalev, there is an avera. So the pashtus is, if I cook chalev with milk, there certainly should be an iser of bishul basa b'chalev. You can't say ein iser chalal iser. There never was an iser against cooking chalev. That's iser chalal heter. So the whole machlek is ki pligi abishul. The argument between Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi is, what if you cook chalev b'chalev, would you get malchus for the cooking? Madi omer loike chad isuru. It's not an iser chalal iser. This is the first iser. Bishul basa b'chalev is iser number one. There is no previous iser against cooking chalev. Madi omer ein loike. And the Amora thinks that there's no Malkus. That's because he thinks, since it's all written in one pasuk, the same pasuk appears three times. Lo sevashok di b'chalevi moi. So from that pasuk, we establish not only is it also the bishul, it's also b'achila as well. So since it's one lashon, lo sevashel, so maybe the mashmos is you only get Malkus on bishul if it's a bishul that's going to lead up to an iser achila. But here it's not going to lead up to an Isra Achila because vis-a-vis Achila is going to be an Isra Chalalisa. You can't eat it anyway because it's Chalav. So there won't be an Isra Achila Basa B'Cholav. So perhaps there isn't even an Isra of Bishul Basa B'Cholav. That's how the Gemara suggests. On the last slide, Aman the Yaman, the one who says, ain't a like it, the one who says it's no Malkus for cooking the Chalav with the Cholav, that's Lahachi. Why? Because Lahachi, Afke, Rahman, Achila, Balash, and Bishul. Why did the Torah write Lo Sevashel three times? It means you're not allowed to eat it. So it's written Balash and Bishul to teach me that on the top line, the Kevin Dal Achila Lo Laki, since I'm eating it, you won't get Malkus for Basa B'chol because I need to Chal Al Iser. The Iser Achila Basa B'chol was not Chal on top of the Iser Achila and Chelus Abishul Nami Lo Laki. That's the first suggestion Neymar gives. They're guessing. What were they fighting about? So the first guess, the Chachmei Bovela trying to reconstruct what we're Abba Mirabasi and Eretz are fighting about. The Gemara suggests maybe the Machlek is only on the Bishul. Vinika the army and others made a suggestion. No, that's not the correct version. Abishul kuli amala pligi di loki. If you're going to cook chalev with chalav, everyone agrees that you get Malkus for the Bishul. That's Isser Rishon. That's not an Isser Chalal Heter. There never was an Isser against cooking chalev. It doesn't make sense. Why should you cook chalev if no one's going to eat it anyway? Unless you want to feed it to a goy. Okay. You can cook chalev, have a tray for pot, cook it for a goy and give it. It's muta banor. You can get anor from chalev. So there's no Isser against bishul chalev. So if you cook bas b'chalev with the chalev, of course you'll like it. Keep ligi. When is there a machlokes? Rabami Rabasi, achila. If you'll eat the chalev b'chalev, the chalev that was cooked b'chalev, if you eat it, man the yama ain't loike because ain't isa chalal isa. It already had an isa chalev that preceded the isa basa b'chalev. Before he cooked it with the milk, it's already asa. Well, man the yama loike, how come the other man holds that you are loike? Aye, in general, we assume ain't isa chalal isa. No, the hachi afke rachmona lachila, but loshen bishul, the chumash uses the same verb all three times, lo sabash al gadi, and it really means not to eat it. So the reason why it's written Baloshin Bishul, it really means Achila, came in the Bishul Loki, since on Bishul you'll be loike, because there was no previous Issa, Achila Nami Loki. Maybe this is an exception to the rule that you say Issa Chalal Issa, because the Issa Bishul was Chal, the Iboy Issa Ema. And if you want, you can say a third version. We're not sure what Rabbami Rabbasi said. Maybe they were never arguing with each other. Maybe the Shaliach who came from Eretz Yisrael didn't say over, he told over half a story. Perhaps Mara Machoda, Mara Machoda, Veloy Pligi, maybe they're not arguing. The one who said Yeloike is talking about Bishul. If you cook chaylev and milk, you get malchus for cooking it. And if the one who said you don't get malchus, he's talking about achila, because achila will be aim bishul acha bishul. So that was the problem. They never knew for sure what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. That's a shaila. Whenever there's a machloikis between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, so the Rif has a klal in the end of Erevin. Whenever there's a machloikis Bavli Yerushalmi, we assume the Bavli is more reliable, so we always pass him like the Bavli. He says why? Because the Bavli was written later. The Yerushalmi was written by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, a few generations before the Bavli. And the Rif assumes that the Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. This is highly questionable whether this is true. The Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything that was discussed. And Hilchos HaKibasroi, they knew what it said and they paskened against it. So that's a question whether it's true or not. So sometimes you have a stira between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi as regarding what did Rabbi Yochanan say. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yerushalmi was written by the students of Rabbi Yochanan. So there's a Taisus in the end of Ksubis on Kuf Beis Amar Aleph, a big Taisus on the bottom. So Taisus says we prefer to rely on the Bavli against the Yerushalmi, even when we're discussing what did Rabbi Yochanan say. That's very surprising. You would have thought that the Yerushalmi is written by the students of Rabbi Yochanan. They should know better. So Taisa says, no, we pass on like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi, even when you're discussing what did Rabbi Yochanan say. Here in this Gemara, it's very obvious. They weren't sure what Rabbami Rabbasi. Rabbami Rabbasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. This is Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi. It's not Rabbami Rabbasi who lived in Bavli. This is Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi. They lived in Eretz Yisrael. So someone came and they told the Chachmei HaBavli. They had a dispute, so the Gemara has three possibilities, and they don't know what they said, because they lived hundreds of miles away. They weren't sure what they said. Freg the Gemara Akasha. Meisevei, they ask Akasha from a Tosefta. Amavasho b'mei cholov patur. What is mei cholov? Whey. What is whey? When you take milk and you make cheese out of it, so you remove all of the curds from the milk and you're left with vasadik milk. Very, very watery. It's almost like water. That's called mecholov. Then what they do is they take that whey, and they make cheese out of that. And then what's left we call mecholov. That's very vasadik. Came out like water. That's very vasadik. So the Gemara is saying here, basa b'cholav is only awesome in HaTorah if you cooked with milk. If you cooked with vasadik and milk, if you removed all of the curds from the milk, and you just have left H2O, originally when you milk a cow, I think 85% of the milk is H2O. Rubadur, overwhelming majority of milk is H2O. But we declare that's the way it comes out from the cow, so that's all milk. You don't say only 15% of the milk is milk and 85% is parva, because it's plain water, it's plain H2O. You don't say like that. You say the whole milk is milchik, it's all together. But when you remove all of the curds, so then the Gemara says it's paravim in HaTorah, and we assume in Shulchan Aruch that it's only milchik mederabon. So that's a machlek, as the Rosh quotes. When the Tosefta says that there's no basa b'cholav deraisa, pata means there's no malchus, pata ravalasa. There's no malchus deraisa if you cook flesh with mecholav. Is that in whey? You remove the curds and you make cheese and shoin? That whey is only, that's parva min HaTorah, only milchik min derabbanan. And the other opinion, we're machmeh for the other opinion, it's only parva min HaTorah if it's mei cholov. I made cheese from the whey, and then what I have left afterwards is mamish vasadik stuff. It's kemat mamish H2O. So that's parva min HaTorah, it's only milchik min derabbanan, but it is milchik min derabbanan. Around, I remember 25 years ago, There was a girls' school in the New York area that was making a Malava Malka, so they were teaching the girls how to cook food. So each girl had to cook chicken, had to fry chicken, cook chicken at home, and they brought all the chicken to the Malava Malka. It turned out that one of them used what they thought was part of a margarine. It was really milchig margarine. They used margarine that had whey in it. So one of the rabbanim thought, mistakenly, against the Shulchan Aruch, he thought that this prohibition of mei mechalav, that it's part of him in atar milchig mit the rabbanim, he thought it's only lechatchila. You're not allowed to cook the flesh with the whey. But if you cooked it, it doesn't aser b'di'evit. It's against what it says in the Shulchan. He's an original thinker, this rabbi. He thought out of the box, out of the Shulchan Aruch. But in our Shulchan Aruch, it says that mei mechalav, this vasadik stuff, is mutim and atur. Men atur is part of it, but mid the rabbanon it's milchi. So does asa mid the rabbanon. Such a din by dam also. There's a gemara in Kisui Hadam. That's earlier. Per Kisui Hadam, the special din a chumash. If you shecht chaya oof. So when you shecht, you have to do Kisui Hadam. You have to have offer melmata and offer melmaila. Usually they use sawdust. They have a sack full of sawdust. So when they shecht the chickens or they shecht the turkeys, so they throw sawdust on the floor where they're going to shecht, and they shecht 100 chickens, 1,000 chickens, they shecht 50 chickens a minute, 50 chickens a second, they shecht very quickly. They have a conveyor belt and they keep on shechting very quickly. And then they throw, after the shechet is finished, then he says a bracha, and he does a kis adam, he throws the sawdust on top of all the things. You don't have to do kis adam after each and every chicken. You can do 1,000 chickens and then do kisei adam after it's all over. So the Gemara says kisei adam only applies to chai v'yoif. If you shecht the behema, you don't need kisei adam. You shecht the cows, you don't need kisei adam. So the Gemara says it's only considered dam when it has the red blood corpuscles in it. Just like by dam anido, there's a Mishnah that says that a woman only becomes a nida if her body gives up osamok and gives up dam, it has a mara odin. If it's a different color, it doesn't have a din of dam. So here also the Gemara says earlier, in Perkisi Adam, only if it has the red blood corpuscles in it. So the Gemara says if you shecht and you leave the blood in the sun, so what will happen will be the red part will separate and the plasma will be separate. So the Gemara says the plasma alpidin is not considered dam. If you eat the white stuff, it doesn't have any red in it, there's no chi of curry, so there's no mitzvah kisei adam on that, it's not considered dam. When it's all together, the whole thing is dam. You don't just say that percentage of the dam, that's the red blood corpuscles, that part is dam. The whole thing is considered dam. Like over here, the whole thing is considered cholav, not just 15%. Everything is cholav. Once you separate it, so minatara, the mecholav, the meimecholav, the 85% is part of the minatara, and only the other stuff is milchik. So the same by the dam. When the dam comes out, the Rambam says, if you eat a kazayis of dam, you get malchus. So the Ragachava points out, and it's safe on the Rambam, the tzafnas panech, you eat a kazayis of dam, even though most of the dam is plasma. It's only 15-20% of it is going to be red. A very small percentage of it. But still, calls man that it's all together. Naturally, the whole thing is considered dam. And if you eat a kazayis of the dam, you'll get malchus. If it'll separate, and then part will be white, the plasma, the colorless, whatever, and part will be red, so only the red part is the dam, and the white part doesn't have the din of dam.
Do you have to wait at all, like now, whatever, any amount of time after eating meat to eat this
midrabanan milchik? I think so. The same as regular milchik. Midrabanan, it's milchik. Midrabanan, it's milchik.
So we don't put together one derabanan and another, or...
We do put together. You have to wait 6 hours even to have milchik, that's only milchik midrabanan. Yeah. It's a trade derabanan, that's right. You have to wait 6 hours even to eat something that's only milchik with the rabbanon. Yeah, even the minatar, it's not milchik. That's right.
Wait, hold on. So when it comes to, like, let's say shavuos to shavuos, right? So we say that that's
the most. Shavuos is only mutter b'makom mitzvah. Shalom b'makom mitzvah. It's aser because it's a trade the rabbanon. It's a lower level, not as chomer as a chad the rabbanon, but it's still aser. Shavuos to shavuos, a trade the rabbanon, still aser. But since it's more kal than a chad rabbanon, it's a mamaka mitzvah. Tosis has a gemara that we allow it, but shelo mamaka mitzvah not. So this would truly be a trade the rabbanon. To wait 6 hours is only a minute. It's not even a rabbanon. So you would say you have to wait 6 hours in order to have the meimi chalav. The Rosh quotes on this gemara. The Rosh quotes the gemara in the first parak in Mechiras has a whole discussion. How do you know you're allowed to drink milk? Maybe it should be osur. Because behema b'chaya b'cheskas iser, there's some kind of an iser if you eat a live animal. So let's say you have an elephant. Let's say you have a horse, and the horse gives off milk. You have a pig, and the pig gives off milk. So you're not allowed to drink the milk from a pig, because hayetzim and ha'aser is aser. So why not declare every live animal is an aser? Behema b'chaya b'cheskas iser. So the milk comes while the milk is developed in the live animal. So all the milk should be hayetzim and ha'aser because it's a live animal. So the Gemara says the pasuk praises Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Avos Cholav Dvash. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. So if milk is treif, so what kind of a praise is that for Eretz Yisrael? Is a right that milk is kosher, but it really should have been aser. It's a chiddush that milk is mutter. So some Rishonim claim only milk is mutter, but if it's meimich all of the way, there's no pasuk, so it's aser. So that opinion has not been accepted, huh? The real thing is chalav. The real thing is chalav. We have exeris akasim. Right. That's how we paskin. We paskin the way you say. But the Rosh quotes two opinions. There was a small group of rishonim, the minority group, who were of the opinion that milk really should have been asa. And it's exeris akasim that it's mutter. So the exeris akasim only goes if it's bona fide milk. But if it's vasadik and milk, atkadekach, that it's paraveh, so paraveh milk is not milk. So bleibt das an iser von yaitzim and os. So that's not the accepted opinion. We paskin the way is kosher, but it's milchig midirabon. We paskin the way is milchig midirabon.
What about the vash from bees? Not from hair. The vash from bees doesn't come. That's not what the Torah said, but that Eretz Avos Cholav Dvash
right. So the Gemara says we have other psukim in Tanakh about bee honey that it's kosher. So the Gemara has a machlekes also in the first parak in Pcheris, the same daf. Why is bees honey mutter? So one opinion is that it's not considered godel mi'iser. The bee flies around and it picks up pollen, picks up stuff from all over the place, and just mixes it together in its body. It's not that it's developed. The milk is developed inside the body of the cow, as opposed to the bee's honey that the bee picks it up. So this, if you say like that, you have to. If you say like that, then the Gemara says you have to judge each insect individually. Every insect that gives off a secretion, is it being secreted by a gland of this insect, in which case it's going to be osur. Or did it pick it up from other places? Right, so the Gemara says that you see from Tanakh that bees honey is mutter. But the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, why is it mutter? So one opinion is...
You didn't tell me why it's cholav mutter, because the Torah gave it as a mutter.
Yeah, but here the tanaim have a machlekes, what if it's honey from a different insect other than a bee? So if it's exeris
hakot,
so the question is, what if it's honey from a different animal, not a bee?
It's also dvash from a fruit.
Yeah.
No, that's not a shaila. That wasn't developed by a non-kosher animal. The only shaila is if you have honey that was developed by a non-kosher insect, that should be like milk that developed in a pig. So why shouldn't all the honey be also? So he says, it says in Tanakh that these honey is mutter. So the Tanaim have a machlekes, why? And in Yerideh, the two opinions are the paskin. Which Tana's opinion is the paskin like? Do we say that only such honey that's called honey, but the others are not called honey? The others are called dvash gezen, dvash tsirin. Honey stam is only honey from bees. So the other honey would be also. Or should I say no? Any insect that developed its honey by collecting the pollen and the stuff from different plants and just mixing it together, and its body didn't really give it off, didn't really develop it. It's not godel b'yisus, so all the honeys would be mutter. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch.
Today, when people use whey, they should use the power of
get rid of the water and they just use that, that's how they throw to you. Now, so is that considered Nechalav or is that considered Cholamash?
I think we are machmer to consider the first way is really milchig min haTorah, and only if he made cheese out of that, then what's left is even more vasadik. So the name echal of that we hold is parvim midirabbanan.
But today, when they forget the soil, when they take that solution, then they get rid of the water and they
make it
have
into powder.
A powder. And that's what they call
it's another process.
Yeah, so the question is.
So you get rid of the whole point of mechal of the way that we is that it's diluted so much and you get rid of so much of the tamsis that you're left with primarily water. But,
right.
Well, and today when the Rebbe
no, so I declared that even the particles of whey are also part of the minatur and only milchig midirabbanan. Uh-huh. So the question is, when they made this powdered whey, did they use it? Did they evaporate all the water at the first stage or the second stage? Uh-huh. I think they're yesh v'yesh. I think they're two kinds. The two kinds. Sometimes when they make the cheese, when they take milk and they make cheese, so sometimes you have a goyishu company making gvina sakum, and when they make the cheese, sometimes they cook it. They cook the cheese. So then many are of the opinion, machloek is how we should pass, and many are of the opinion, if they cook the cheese, it's gvina sakum, and then it makes the whey treif also, because it has a bliyah from the gvina sakum. So that whey may not be eaten, period. Because it has a belief in gvina sakum. So sometimes when you buy butter, so sometimes the butter contains whey. So your butter may be treif. They may have mixed in treif away. Treif away, and how can whey be treif? They cooked the gvina sakum, so the gvina sakum gave a belief into the whey. So if you buy butter, I think that says grade AAA, if it says three A's, I think then it doesn't have any whey at all. But if you only buy butter, it's grade A or grade AA, then it will have whey, and sometimes the whey will be treif away. According to those who hold that if you cook the gemina sakum, if the company, goyish company, cook the cheese, so the treif of cheese gives a bli into the whey, so the whey will be treif as well.
Why don't you give a hechsher on only the AAA?
I think so. I think they only give a hechsher on the AAA. I think so. Why do they prohibit Gvina Sakum? The Mishnah Avodah Zarah tells a story that when the Rabbanim had the meeting to discuss Gvina Sakum, one of the Tanoim couldn't make it. He didn't show up. So the next day he asked one of those who was there, I couldn't make it yesterday. I understand that you made a prohibition against the Gvina Sakum. What's the reason? So he said, we're not allowed to tell you. Whenever the rabbis make an Isser, even though he was invited to come to the meeting, sorry, we're not allowed to tell you. Whenever we make an Isser, we can't divulge the reason for the Isser until 12 months go by. We want all the people to observe the Isser, and then we'll tell them the reason. If we're going to tell the reason right away, every time Dick and Harry will decide on his own, I'm not going to fall in. I know what's us, I know what's Mutter. I don't have to observe this Gzera D'Rabban. So they didn't tell him. So because of the Grois HaChachman, they didn't tell him the reason, so the reason was forgotten. So the Gemara asks them, what's Taka the reason? So the Gemara gives six or seven, the Gemara is guessing, six or seven suggestions, what's wrong with the Gvina Sakum? Why is it also to eat the cheese that was manufactured by the Goy? So one of the reasons the Gemara gives, Rabbeinu Tam claims this is the din, one of the reasons is because when they make the cheese, they'll sometimes mix in plain water into the cheese, and the Goyim are not, the Nochrim is Manatarim, are not careful. Even if a snake would be around, and the snake may have spit a little poison into the water, so you're not allowed to drink maimagulim. So the reason why you're not allowed to eat cheese that's processed by goyim, because they're not careful about maimagulim, and it's a sakon. So Rabbi Natam thinks that's the psak halacha, and he says, therefore, we live in cities where there are no snakes, and we all drink water that's maimagulim, because there's no chashash today, so you can eat all the gvina sak. There's no prohibition of gvina sak. That's so some hold Rav Soloveitchik used to say the Chazanish held the Mikra Din, that's Talocha, that all the Gvina Sakum is really Mutta. It's only a minik that Chumra not to eat the Gvina Sakum. And others hold, no, it's not just the chumrah, it's not just the minig, it's a real din. You really should need the Gemara Sanhedrin, because we don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam, we follow the other opinions in the Gemara. So one of the other opinions is, when they used to take milk and they used to convert it into cheese, how did they do that? How do they convert the milk into cheese? So they used to use rennet. So in the days of the Tanaim, they would take some of the lining of the belly of a cow, and they would take a piece of kevas nevela, a shtik flesh, and they would throw it into a vat of milk. The vat of milk is the size of this room, gallons and gallons and gallons of milk, and you throw in one piece of flesh that has on the surface the rennet, that's an excretion, that's an enzyme that comes out in the stomach, on the lining of the stomach. If they would take a spoon and scrape off the rennet from the lining of the stomach and throw it into the milk, that would be no problem. The rennet was developed while the animal was alive. It doesn't develop rennet after the enzyme comes out while the animal's alive. So the fact that now it's an avela, that doesn't answer the rennet. But they didn't scrape off the rennet from the lining. They would take a shtick, they would take a piece of the flesh of the lining of the stomach and throw it into the vat of milk. So the bliya would come from the flesh itself. So and even though now nobody does that, now they make microbial rennet, they make imitation rennet, they don't take it from an animal, and even if they would, they would scrape it off with a spoon. They wouldn't take a shtick flesh and throw it in. So that's what Tosfos says, it's still also. Even mamidim basavim, even if the davra mamid is a vegetable or something, it's not at all a piece of nevela, that was a loy plug rabban. So that's the chumra in Shulchan Aruch. We don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam. That's the Shadar Rav Soloveitchik thought, and the Chazon Ish held like that also. Mi'ikra din, the din is really like the Rabbeinu Tam, that all the gvinas sakim is mutter, that the yisur only was because of my megulim. And it's only a chumra today. That's why in the early days of the Medina, right after the Second World War, right before Hakamas HaMedina, in the early days, there wasn't any kosher cheese. There wasn't any Gvinas Yisrael. There was only Gvinas Akum. But it was microbial rennet. There was no treifus in it, but they were concerned about the gzeira, Gvinas Akum. So there was no hashgocha on the cheese. So a lot of people wanted kosher cheese. Wasn't available in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have any. So they were eating trefet cheese. They weren't eating trefet cheese. They were eating goyisha cheese.
Made in Israel?
Some made in Israel, some made in Europe. So the Chazon Ish sent letters to the Rav Herzog, to the Rabbanut, they should please give a hechsher on the Gvinas Akum. How can you give a hechsher on Gvinas Akum as treif? He said, Mikir Adin, you know, and I don't. It's really kosher. The din is really like the Rabbeinu Tam. And it's a bad chinuch. The people are getting used to eating food without a hechsher. That's not right. Now is a shasatcha, give a hechsher on the goyish cheese, because mikra din is mutter. And when there'll be a Jewish company making Gvinas Yisrael, then we'll no longer give the hechsher on this. The people will know you should only eat food that has a hechsher. And the Rabbanut didn't do it, because they didn't want to give a hechsher on Gvinas Akum. So a lot of people got used to the eating food without a hechsher. But the Chazon Ish also held like Rav Soloveitchik. And Mikra Din, we really hold like the Rabbeinu Tam. And the whole prohibition of Gvinas Akum today is a chumra.
Shishim against it? Because when you consider like Machpelah Asuras to require Shishim?
Gvinas Akum, yeah. It is Machpelah Asuras. We consider Machpelah Asuras, but the Rabbana, yeah. The Gemara says the Chachamim made a prohibition against Cholav Akum, and they made a prohibition against Gvinas Akum. So the Chasam Sofer is, what do they have to make a prohibition against Gvinas Akum? The cheese is obviously made from milk, so all the Gvinas Akum should be Cholav Akum. So what do they need another reason for? So he said the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, and this is quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva and all the later poskim. Apparently, it depends when I buy it from the goy, what form am I buying it in? So if you buy it in the form of milk, then it's also. If you buy it in any other form, there's no prohibition. So that's what Mikir Adin, butter, that's processed by the goyim, even though the butter is obviously made from the milk, and the milk is Cholav Akum, they never asked the butter. So the Rambam says regarding butter that's processed by a goy, it depends on the minig hamokim. In some places, the minig is that we don't allow butter that's processed by Gaim and other places we do allow. Cheese they did asa, and milk they did asa, and butter they never asa it officially, but it depends on the minig hamokum. So sometimes now the butter is a problem because they mix in whey into the butter, and that whey was cooked with the gvina sakum, and we're machmer on the gvina sakum, so we should be machmer on the.
I understand if the milk is asa, anything. Why would he come to the conclusion that derivative of milk should be mutter?
Oh, so he holds the isig. Cholav akum only takes effect when I buy it from the goy. Kol zman I didn't buy it, there's no issa.
I mean, that's a gzeira, in other words.
The gzeira de rabbanon.
Of course, that's what it is. It's a
gzeira. A chashash, that maybe they mixed in treifa milk.
And there's butter, and I'm not chashash, they may have mixed in treifa milk.
Far-fetched, the Gemara says that probably not. But he says, the Rambam says they never prohibited the butter. They only made a gzeira on the milk. So if you buy it from the goy in the state of milk, then it's also, that's Rav Tzvi Pesach. Frank had a coolie years ago in Eretz Yisrael in America. It wasn't, Cholav Yisrael wasn't available. So he said, if you buy powdered milk, from the goy, so then you're not buying it in the form of milk, it's a different form. So there's no Isser on the powdered milk. So everybody was makel on that at that time. So now the Cholav Yisrael is available, so now they threw out Rav Tzvi Pesach, Frank's Heter. They don't hold from the Heter anymore. I remember years ago, they used to drink powdered milk. It tasted awful. Yeah. Used to drink it in Brooklyn, in the Mir Yeshiva, and in Lakewood. Some of the people used to have powdered milk. It tasted awful. Well, but they relied on our sweet
sauce. Evaporated milk, you can, no?
Evaporated milk is what? I don't know what it is. What is evaporated milk?
It's milk where they evaporate part of the water.
Ah, no, but that's... No, but that's still milk. That's mamish milk. Evaporated milk, so Rabbi Pesach Frank said, it's powder. It's powder, so he thought that that's not milk.
Some manufacturing plants in Europe still use animal derived rennet.
There are places, yeah.
In Europe.
Yes.
In the United States, it's not used at all, but in Europe it is. So any cheese, imported cheese from Europe.
You have a serious one?
Would be actual
crepe. Mm-hmm. Yes. There are Swiss cheeses that are imported to Eretz Israel, and somehow the Rabbanut puts the label on it. So my son-in-law was born and brought up in Zurich in Switzerland. He says in Switzerland they don't eat these things. All of the religious Jews know that it's treif. How did it all of a sudden become kosher when they bring it to Eretz Israel? Put the Rabbanut, gives a stamp on it. He says it's just as treif as it was when... Yeah.
Something that Hamanam didn't accept, and therefore it never became master. Wasn't there something where the Hachamim decided to be the Tana, but it wasn't accepted by the...
The Gemara says they didn't want to tell the Tana who wasn't there at the meeting, they didn't want to tell him the reason for the prohibition of Gvina Sakin, because they were afraid. Whenever, that's what the Gemara tells us. Whenever they made Xerah de Rabbanan, they wouldn't reveal the reason until after 12 months, because they were afraid that people wouldn't accept it. But so they didn't divulge the reason, and people did accept it. The Xerah
Gvina. There's something else. There's something that the Chachamim decided that it's not going to be kosher and made of Hakana, but since the regular, the non Chachamim, the regular 99% is. Regular Jews, they didn't accept that
Hakana,
therefore...
Yeah, the Gemara has a few things like that. The Gemara has different things like that, but not on Gvina Sakin.
Oh,
I don't think so. Not on Gvina Sakin. I mean, if I buy the milk from the non-Jew, it's already mixed into the chocolate. So according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I'm not buying it in the form of milk. So it should be mutta, okay.
The
gzera was only made if you buy it in the form of milk. If you buy it in the form of chocolate, there's no gzera. Okay. Okay. That is the Chasam Sefer. That's what he points out. At the end of Parshas Vayera, we have the story of the Akedah. So the story begins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu, and he tells him, Kachno has been chitcha shahaftas Yitzchak. Baruch Shalom tells him in person. He wants him to bring his son on the Akedah. Then when he goes, he's about to shech the son. All of a sudden, a malach appears. And the malach tells him, Al tishlach yadcha l'anar v'ataslim numa, he shouldn't do anything. So he listens to the malach. So they have in Yiddish folklore, they tell over the story that at a certain point, the Vilna Goyen made a cherem against the Hasidim. They told him such stories about the Hasidim. They did all kinds of crazy things. So he made a cherem against the Hasidim. So they were going around the Talmidim of the Vilna Goyen, were going around and asking more Rabbanim to sign on the cherem. So the story goes, and when they came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, they asked him to sign. So he said, to put the Hasidim in cherem. Cherem is a curse, they should drop dead. The Gemara says, cherem is a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim, that the person should drop dead. And if a person dies in a cherem, you don't sit shiva. He's like Harugi Bezmin. We attribute his death to the curse that the Bezmin gave him. So he said, to sign a cherem, if the Rebbe would tell me in person, if the Vilna Gaon would be here, tell me, I would sign. But the Rebbe is not here. The Talmud is telling me I wouldn't sign. To shecht your son, Yitzchak, to kill someone, you have to have the Ribbono Shel Olam in person, has to tell me. Not to shecht, if the Malach tells me not to shecht, then you don't shecht. But to shecht, you have to have dafke, the Ribbono Shel Olam in person has to say. He didn't want to sign, that's why they say, he didn't want to sign the Yisr, the Cherem against the Hasidim. There was a Rabbi Yossi Buchsbaum, who was the head of Machon Yerushalayim. He passed away at a young age, passed away a couple of years ago. He was an expert on Jewish history. He used to work, he used to write all the Hakdamas to all of the Sorm. He would give all the historical background of all of these people that they were working with. So he was a collector of Kisvei Yad also. So he said years ago that he had the original Cherem that they were all signing. He said it's Rav Chaim Volozhiner's handwriting. He says the Cherem was written by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. They said he doesn't understand that story. But that's in Yiddish folklore, that's the way the story goes. And in Lithuania, they used to refer to the Beis HaRav, those who were descendants from the Rabbanish and Mishpacha, those who were descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, would call Beis HaRav, the Soloveitchik family, a Beis HaRav, and others, Shapiro family, all Beis HaRav. The descendants of the Vilna Goyen are not called the Beis HaRav. So the Hasidim say the reason why, because the Vilna Goyen made the cherem against the Hasidim. That was such a sharp thing. They make a cherem means that they should drop dead, you shouldn't intermarry with them, and so on. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was moderate. He was also opposed to the Hasidim. In the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, he complains against their practices. They don't daven. They wait to daven mincha till after Tzeis HaKachavim. Would you believe it? He writes. They'll send someone outside to ask, can you see three stars? Okay, then we can daven mincha. And he makes fun of them. And they don't daven Kriya Shema till in the morning, till after Zman Kriya Shema. They're busy going to mikveh, they're busy mavis sedran, do everything wrong. And he makes fun. He says, if you missed by 2 minutes, it's like reading the Megillah on Pesach and eating matzah on Yom Kippur and lighting Neris Chanukah on Purim. If you missed the mitzvah by 2 minutes, you missed. You're not yotze. He makes a lot of fun of the Hasidim. And he says, they don't learn, they're busy doing other things, they don't learn. He complains, but to make a cherem, that's a more serious thing. So that's what they say in Yiddish folklore. They say that he pointed out from the surgeon to shecht your son. For that, you have to have instruction from the Ribbono Shel Olam in person, not to kill the Jew. So that if the Malach tells me to rescind the instructions of the Ribbono Shel Olam, bikuach nefesh, you listen to a Malach also. You don't have to have the Ribbono Shel Olam in person. It's very negeh today. Okay.
I think he was there, right?
This is Malach Hashem. Elohim tells the Shech to see.